Good afternoon. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, my name is Dr. Sarah McManus, and I'm your host and producer for today's episode of Education Today, an original program produced in the Triangle Radio Reading Service Studio. In today's episode, we will be exploring how to be successful with Paralympian Lex Gillette. Welcome, Lex.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Doing good.
Excellent, excellent. So I know that you don't live in Raleigh, North Carolina, but you were in town for a special program that took place at the Governor Moorhead School for the Blind on August the 30th. It was called Spirit in Motion, and it was stories about the Olympics and the Paralympics. And you were there along with Renee Chu, and you really had a wonderful time with the audience and told your story. But I thought it would be great to have you on Education Today as well.
So thank you.
You're welcome. You. So glad you're here today. So, Lex, tell the audience just a little bit about yourself.
I am, as you mentioned, I'm a Paralympian. So that means that I'm an athlete. I have competed in the Paralympic Games, and I also compete in the other international competitions, so World Championships, the Pan American Games, and I'm originally from Raleigh, North Carolina, so you know this place, of course, means a lot to me, and this is the area where I learned everything that I needed in order to make it to the Paralympic stage.
Excellent, excellent. And you had one of your medals with you yesterday.
I did.
Yeah. Which medal was that?
It was the one that I won from Rio. It's a silver. And the cool thing about the medals from Rio is that the gold, silver, and bronze are distinguishable by sound. So they thought about the blind and visually impaired athletes and wanted them to be able to know what color their medals were just by shaking them and being able to listen and know that, okay, this is a gold medal, this sounds like a silver, and this sounds like a bronze.
That is awesome. It's wonderful when people think about accessibility and making sure that things are there for everyone.
Exactly.
That is wonderful. Excellent. Well, let's talk about your journey a little bit and things that helped you in your education and things that you're still doing to help others in their education. So, I know that as you were growing up and you were learning about how to run and do the long jump, it had to be somewhat challenging
yes.
at first.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about how you got started in the track and field area.
So athletically, I started in high school, and we discovered my athleticism through a physical fitness test. So there were an assortment of events that we had to do, and one of them was standing long jump. I was pretty good at that, and my teacher at that particular time decided to take me out to the track, and he introduced me to all of the events that are within the sport of track and field. So, 100 meters, 200 meters, you can sprint, you can throw implements like the shot put, discus, and then you also have the jumping events like long jump, triple jump, high jump. And naturally, I gravitated toward long jump because I was good at standing long jump. But it was challenging when my teacher slash coach had told me that, well, in long jump, you actually have to run and jump. So we had to figure out a method to get it done. So we use sound, and there's a takeoff point where long jumpers have to jump from. And you also have the runway, which is a stretch of track, and you use that runway to build up your speed. And then at the takeoff point is when you jump. So my coach would stand at the takeoff board, he claps, and he would yell, and that would give me an audible reference as to where I needed to run and jump from, and I would remember how many strides I would take, and at the appropriate number, then I would jump and land into a big sand pit.
Jump and land. I think you fly.
Yeah, yes, yes. I try to as far as I can.
That's great. So how did you learn to stay straight so that you're not kind of going off the wrong path?
It's a constant battle. And I think it just all comes down to the relationship that you build with your long jump caller. And your long jump caller is the person that stands at the takeoff board. So he is sighted. He sees everything, and he's making sure that the environment is clear. He's making sure that you're comfortable and just wants you to be in the best position possible to run fast and jump straight. So he stands in the middle of the runway by the takeoff area. And so that tells me that I need to make sure that when I'm listening to him, I'm trying to go as straight as possible. Now, there are times where, you know, it's windy outside or maybe it's loud inside of the stadium, so he has to adjust. But the goal is to get me from point A, which is my starting point, down to the opposite end of the runway where the takeoff point is, as straight as possible. But the great thing is we do have a lot of a room around the runway. So if you did just so happen to take a step off, then you could either adjust and come back on, or if it's just too drastic, then you can stop and go back and just start it all over again. But as long as you don't, that is only applicable if you don't run into the takeoff area. So there's a board, and as long as you don't touch that board, then you can go back and start again. But as soon as you touch the board, that counts as an attempt.
Uh-huh. And then you can hear when you actually, your feet touch the board.
Yes.
Excellent, excellent. So you had to have a good relationship with your coach and your partner there.
Yes.
And then somebody had to motivate you to get you started.
Yes.
What would you say to children out there now who are interested in getting started and they just aren't sure why, or maybe they're scared?
I think as a kid, one of the most important things for me was just, you know, just to go out there and try things and not necessarily speaking on athletics, but just anything, you know, get yourself involved into as many things as possible. There's so many different resources out there for blind and visually impaired individuals. And like, I've been able to obtain a lot of success athletically, but it has all stemmed from everything that I learned at home, everything that I learned in school. I was a part of Boy Scouts. I used to go to Camp Dogwood. I used to go to programs at the Governor Moorhead School for the Blind during the summer. So I've been involved in a lot of different things, and I think it helped me become well-rounded. And so I feel like for others who are out there trying to pursue athletics or, you know, whatever it is that you want to pursue in life, you know, definitely get out there and just try different things and whatever comes to mind, you know, really try to act on those things, because it does no good for you to think about those things and not try to, you know, bring it into reality.
Oh, excellent. So it's not just about the athletics. You had that background and that mindset early that you could do pretty much anything you wanted to do.
Exactly.
And then you tried lots of things and you were involved in lots of different activities.
Exactly.
That's wonderful. And tell us about some of the lessons you learned growing up, because you mentioned it was your home environment that helped you. Tell us a little bit about how that helped to mold you.
I think that, yeah, so my mom was really influential in my life, and so, you know, she established early that, you know, you may not be able to see, but you do have, you know, other abilities. You have the rest of your senses. You have so many, you know, things within you. You're talented, and, you know, it's just the issue is trying to dig deep and look within yourself and find those things. And, you know, I always had, you know, positive role models and people there to help guide me. And, you know, for all of the things that really seem small, I think those are the things where you really find out the most about yourself and what you're capable of doing. So in my home, I had to do chores. I had to take out the trash. I had to wash dishes and clean my room. And, you know, within those things that I didn't like to do, I figured out that, hey, like, all kids do these types of things, and you know, that doesn't make me any different from anyone else. You know, I had a lot of friends who in the beginning, they didn't know, you know, how much I could see, what I could see. And I would just, you know, inform them, hey, I can't see this, I can't see that. But they still encouraged me to come out and, oh, well, we still want you to be a part of the group. Let's adapt this. Let's adjust this so it can be accessible to you and we all can enjoy it and, you know, have fun together. We can create this, you know, at that particular age.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we necessarily knew, you know, exactly what was going on, but just creating that inclusive environment. And, you know, once I got into school, you know, everything has just, you know, stemmed from home, school, you know, counselors, all of those people. Those are the ones that provided that springboard for me.
Oh, excellent. And you're also a college graduate.
Yes.
Where did you graduate?
I graduated from East Carolina University, and then I went back. I did online while I was competing, and I did University of Phoenix online. So that was challenging in itself, but only because I had a lot of competitions going on and traveling around the world and trying to, you know, make sure I was getting assignments done and turning them in. I'm in New Zealand, and it's, you know, I don't even know how many hours ahead of the United States and trying to get everything turned in. It was crazy, but, you know, it was worth it.
That's wonderful. So you were able to balance your professional, so to speak, life and also your educational life and your personal life and, you know, going to school and everything. That's great. Did you spend any time on campus when you were at ECU?
I did. So I was actually on campus the entire time.
Okay.
Yeah, I was on campus the entire time, my 4 years in Greenville. And it was that was a great experience, too. I think that academically it was great, but I think that the college is really important because as someone who is blind, it helps in that social maturity. And, you know, you're in an environment where you have to do things on your own. You have to schedule your classes. I had a part-time job. I wanted to be a part of, you know, extracurricular activities, and it really helps you transition from, you know, kid to young adult.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once you graduate from college, that next step is going out into the world and figuring out what you're going to do next. But that social piece, that social factor was very huge for me in college.
Excellent, excellent. So you had mentioned, you know, some of your friends didn't know how much sight you have. Let's tell the audience a little bit about your sight. How much sight do you have?
Yeah, so I'm basically at the point where it's just like light perception. And you know, outside of that, it's really not, you know, not too much, not anything that's usable. If we're outside and it's sunny, then I could tell that the sun is out. But, yeah, I wouldn't be able to distinguish anything.
Okay. You can distinguish faces or trees or anything like
that. Nothing like that.
Okay. No. But just knowing that the light's there and that it is sunny. Okay. Excellent. And so you're a college graduate, you're a Paralympian, world champion. You're also a businessman, I hear. So you're an entrepreneur. So tell us a little bit about your slogan and your business.
Yeah. So my slogan is no need for sight when you have a vision. And that was created in 2008. It was the year after I graduated from college, and I was like in a space where I was trying to figure out what my next move was and really trying to figure out my life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I just came to the conclusion that it wasn't the sight that would be the determining factor in whether or not I would be successful. It was, you know, having that vision and, you know, setting goals and having aspirations and really pushing forward and moving forward toward that vision. And I want to say probably, you know, 3 or 4 years later, I began to get into, you know, public speaking, motivational speaking. I took a lot of courses and, you know, some improv courses. Mm. I would go on YouTube a lot and listen to a lot of you know, motivational speakers, but I will also go and listen to a lot of my favorite entertainers. Uh-huh. They would go on TV shows and stuff because I love to hear how they show their personalities. And, next thing I know, as an athlete, people naturally want to, know about, how's your training going? What's your diet like? And, it got to the point where I was like, you know what? I think I could spin this off into, like a career and being able to speak to others and, using that athletic platform to, shed light on, not only competing as an athlete, but living life as someone who's blind and, navigating this world and just showing them, what's possible.
Excellent. What is your diet like when you're training?
My diet, I'm pretty good for the most part. I try to eat a lot of vegetables. I eat a lot of chicken, turkey. So the great thing is that the facility where I train in San Diego, California, they have the cafeteria. But it's not like it's not like being in elementary or middle school, not that type of cafeteria,
yeah.
Like a real cafeteria
upscale
that has
cafeteria.
A lot of options. They have, the hotline, they have fresh salads, fruits. They have a grill area where you can get food to order. So they make sure that we have everything that we need nutrition wise. And we do have a nutritionist. So she's not strict with me, but she does outline things that I need. So if I have a really tough workout one day, she may encourage me to beef up my breakfast to make sure I have enough nutrients in me to be able to get through my workouts. And then days when I don't have a hard workout, days when it's a little lighter, then maybe I'll do something small like a salad or some fruits and veggies. And so they really try to match it up to what we're trying to achieve and what day it is. So
excellent. That's nice that you have that cafeteria.
Yes.
You eat lots of veggies and your lean meats.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Yes.
That's great.
So you're also a musician, I hear?
I do. I like music. So I have two keyboards in my room right now, and that really gives me an opportunity to decompress from track and field. It creates a lot of stress, and so to be able to mentally get away from that is really awesome. And we put a song on iTunes in 2012. It's called On the Stage. And it kind of it illustrates that journey for an athlete, for a Paralympic athlete. And right now I'm in the process of getting some more things recorded and hopefully getting those up soon. So yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Excellent, excellent. And you mentor children as well, is that correct?
Yes, okay. I do. I'm a part of this program called Classroom Champions. And Classroom Champions is an organization that pairs Olympians and Paralympians to kids in underserved areas around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all online. And what we do is we record video lessons each month. And the program lasts from the beginning of the school year until the end of the school year. So we go from August until May or June. And each month is dedicated to a specific skill. So September is goal setting month. So we're going to be talking about goal setting tomorrow. And I'll upload a video to the Google community, our Classroom Champions community. And my classrooms will be able to see that lesson. And at the end of my lessons, I always give them a challenge so they can implement whatever that skill is into their daily life. So my challenge for my kids this month, for goal setting month, was to write down a long-term goal that they want to achieve this year, and then write down 3 to 4 short-term goals that they'll complete to achieve that long-term goal. So we're always trying to give them the opportunity to put that skill into action And then we have live chats throughout the year. And usually at the end of the school year, I like to actually go and visit my kids physically because it's nice to bring that relationship full circle.
Excellent. What kind of impact do you think that's had for the students, the Champions program?
I think it's very impactful. And the reason that I love to be involved is because, you know, a lot of the kids, it ranges from kindergarten through eighth grade. So I think this year I have the majority of my classrooms are, I have a third grade class, I think like 2 fourth grade classes and 2 fifth grade classes. And they're all over the country. So I have one in Indiana, one in New Jersey, one in Texas, and two in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
So at that particular age, that was around the age when I lost my sight. And I remember how important it was to have someone there to give me that guidance and that advice and to, you know, give me that pat on the back and that encouragement and to let me know what I was doing, you know, right, and what I needed to do a little more work on. And to be able to come back and give that same sort of support to kids across the country, you know, it's very like intrinsically satisfying. It's like, oh, you know, it's like I'm giving that back, which was given to me.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Oh, so what are your goals for the future?
My goals for the future. So right now I'm in like a brand refinement, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I'm always going to be linked to No Need for Sight When You Have a Vision. That was like my foundation and you know, that'll never die. And I also feel like, you know, it's not anything that, you know, it's not just for me. Anyone who is, you know, blind or sight impaired, you know, I feel like that's a strong statement and something that, mm-hmm. that you can link yourself to and know that it's the vision that's going to bring you to success. But now these next 4 years, I kind of, you know, wrote down a lot of goals and I figured out that, you know, I wanted my next venture to be, like teaching people to see.
Oh.
And, you know, of course from a, that's not, you know, just totally for blind and visually impaired, but just the entire world. And, you know, just having different perspectives and viewing things differently, having different vantage points. And I think that, you know, when we're able to tap into that, you know, we're learning more, and we're learning more about ourselves, about others, about our environment. And it's really, I think it's something that will help us all really, you know, just see clearer and have a sharper vision. So I want to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to continue to speak, athletically. I'm continuing to train and compete. And the ultimate goal is to go to Tokyo in 2020 because uh-huh. that's where the next Olympics and Paralympics mm-hmm. are and win gold.
Excellent. Excellent. And maybe even make a movie about yourself.
I don't know. We'll see. I think the possibilities are endless.
The possibilities are endless. You've done such a lot in such a short period of time. Because how old are you?
I'm 32.
You're 32. Very yes. young. And you've just created a lot of excitement around what you do and inspiration with your slogan. And I know the students yesterday when they heard you speak were just very inspired and, you know, discussing how you can do anything that you want to do. You just have to persevere and make sure you have a good support system
right.
and make sure you form those relationships. I think it's very powerful.
Right.
Yeah.
That's definitely, yeah. I mean, a lot of the, you know, interviews that we do, you know, it's, you know, always talk about, it's that educational piece and you know, the relationships that I did have with teachers and my mom and again, you know, counselors and even like orientation and mobility specialists and rehab counselors and like all of those people,
yeah.
those are the people that they're the ones that are responsible for my success. Like once I was able to get on the track and step on the long jump runway, it seemed like, you know, it was a little easier because I had been invested in so much that I just used that same energy athletically, and that's what's, you know, helped me excel.
Yeah, so if you do the work first,
right,
and have all that background and that foundation,
everything,
that strong foundation,
everything
else falls into place. That's awesome. That's awesome. So are there any last words that you'd like to have for the audience?
Yeah, I think just, again, just having that, you know, make sure you have a vision. And it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. It doesn't matter where you are in your life. I think that, you know, when you have that vision, that's what really gives you that urge and that drive, and it really, you know, pushes you forward. And I feel like a lot of people may get trapped into the idea that, you know, I have to do something amazing, and it has to be, you know, something just so profound and innovative, when in actuality, I think you just have to get out there and act. All of the ideas that you have within yourself, within your mind, you know, you get them out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can definitely do it. And also just knowing that, you know, you can't do it alone. You're going to need help at some particular time. And I think that that's a really huge component of having a vision, because it's never anything that's singular. It's something that is for everyone. And that's a beautiful thing, because when it is for everyone and everyone puts their minds together, we have our differences, we think differently, we act differently, but when people are all aligned to that same vision, it's like this huge machine that, you know, pushes forward, and you're able to achieve that much more. So, you know, have that vision and, you know, pursue it with everything within you.
Excellent, excellent. That's wonderful. So we've run out of time today, but I just thank you so much for being here. And again, that slogan is no need for sight if you have a vision. And make sure you credit Mr. Lex Gillette for that. But for Education Today, we are ending our episode today. Please be sure to tune in next time. We hope that you've enjoyed the show. I'm Dr. Sarah McManus, your host and producer for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. After its broadcast, you can readily find our podcast at our website, which is www.trianglereadingservice.org, trianglereadingservice.org, where you will be able to listen to it again and share it with others. If you have any comments or questions from today's episode or wish to share a topic that you want us to explore, please call us at 919-832-5138. Again, that's 919-832-5138. You may also reach us by email, which is info@trrsnc.org. Again, that's info@trrsnc.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon. And again, our web address is www.trianglereadingservice.org. So thanks you again, and so long until next time. Thanks again, Mr. Gillette.
Thank you for having me.